Be in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 tonight. So if you want to get in your Bible, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And while you're going there, I want to thank Pastor Barry again for the chance to preach God's Word. Don't take it lightly. This is very special to me. I still have a lot of learning to do preaching, and there's a lot of things that are stirring in my heart that I'd like to do that I just am unable to do right now, but I'm just going to keep after it. I appreciate your prayers on whatever type of preaching style the Lord would have me to do. So I'm going to do that just a little different tonight than what I normally do. And so 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And if you don't mind standing when you get there, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And we're going to begin our reading in verse 11. And we're going to read to the end of the chapter. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11. The Bible says, "Wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit, despise not prophesyings, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen." Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to be here. I need your help, Lord. I just need your help, and give me clarity of thought and speech and calmness. And Father, I want to lift Pastor up to you one more time and thank him for this opportunity to be here. Father, use me, please, to declare your word, and I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, thank you. You may be seated. So, October is Pastor Appreciation Month. And Pastor Appreciation Month has its origins in the traditions of evangelical Christianity. And the idea behind it is honoring and appreciating pastors for their spiritual leadership and service to the congregation. But it is also a biblical teaching that encourages believers to honor and support those who labor in ministry. 1 Timothy 5:17 says, "Let the elders that rule be well counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine." Elders here is another name for pastor. Our passage tonight comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 and 13. And the Apostle Paul wrote, "And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves." So I'm going to give you a really high level flight over chapter 5 for background. Chapter 5 is part of the Apostle Paul's letter to the Thessalonians. He wrote it to encourage them in their faith, clear up some confusion about Christ's second coming, and urge them to live godly lives. The Thessalonians were worried because of their misunderstanding of the fate of deceased believers, the persecutions that they were facing, and the false teachings that were confusing them about the timing of Christ's second coming. Verses 1 through 11, Paul reminded them what he'd already taught them. The day of the Lord will come unexpectedly, like a thief in the night. Believers are children of the light in the day and not of night or darkness. He gives them an exhortation to be watchful, sober, and spiritually alert. A reminder that God has not appointed them to wrath, but to obtain salvation through Jesus Christ. He encourages them to encourage each other and build each other up. Then in verses 12 through 22, Paul explained to them what we would call a proper Christian conduct. Respect and esteem those who labor in the ministry and admonish the church. He gave instructions on how to deal with different types of people. Warn the unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, support the weak, and be patient with everyone. Always rejoice, pray without ceasing, and give thanks in everything. Do not quench the Holy Spirit. Hold fast to what is good and abstain from all evil. And then Paul closes the letter out with blessings and final instructions. He prays for the sanctification of the believers, that their spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless. He requests prayers and encourages them to greet one another with a holy kiss. That was how they greeted each other back in Bible days. Today we shake hands and give hugs. Verse 27, Paul says, "This letter is to be read to all the brethren." And then Paul ends with a blessing of grace in verse 28. He says, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen." So Pastor Appreciation Month is in October, and it's almost upon us. So we're going to land our plane on verses 12 and 13 tonight. The importance of respecting and appreciating church leaders, especially pastors, for their diligent work in guiding, teaching, and admonishing the congregation. By esteeming pastors, believers help maintain peace and order in the church. Unity in the church supports a spiritually healthy community of believers as we all look forward to Christ's coming. I've titled the sermon, "That He May Do It With Joy." So let's pray one more time, and then I'm going to explain what I mean by that in the message. Dear Heavenly Father, I do pray and ask one more time that you would help me communicate clearly, Father, what you've laid on my heart. Help everybody in here to remember and understand that this is your message, not what I think. Lord, and I love you, and I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So, in verse 12, Paul lists three key responsibilities of pastors. Labor among you, they are over you in the Lord, and they admonish you. So we're going to look at the first thing, they labor among you. Pastors are to work diligently for the congregation. Diligent work involves preaching, teaching, caring for the spiritual and physical needs of the church, and overseeing its well-being. 2 Timothy 4:2 says, "Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine." Acts 20, verse 27 says, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." Paul's saying that he's not held back any part of God's message. He preached the full scope of God's word, including both the promises and warnings, without omitting anything. Paul emphasizes the importance of faithfully teaching all of God's truth, not just the selective happy parts. Pastors and teachers are called to present the entire message, the whole counsel of Scripture, to ensure believers are fully equipped in their faith. 1 Peter 5:2 says, "Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind." So this verse, Paul is highlighting the pastor's role in overseeing the church with just it's a willing and pure heart and no other motive than that. The second thing we're going to look at is pastors are over you in the Lord. Pastors have God's authority in spiritual matters and are entrusted with guiding the church according to the will of God. Acts 20:28 is a verse that shows us the authority that God has given to pastors to govern His church. It says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God which He hath purchased with His own blood." Pastors are not rulers in a worldly sense. They're not called to rule over our life in that way. They're called to lead the congregation under Christ's authority. Their leadership should reflect God's word and God's will for His church. And the third thing is they admonish you. Pastors are responsible for correcting and instructing the congregation. Admonishing means to warn, counsel, urge someone to avoid sinful behavior and live according to God's ways. This requires pastors to teach with love and wisdom, helping believers grow in faith and live righteous lives. Ephesians 4:11 says, "And He," that's God, "and He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers." Why? The next verse, verse 12, tells us, "For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ." Pastors and teachers are given by Christ for the purpose of guiding His church. For the perfecting of the saints means to equip mature believers in their faith. For the work of the ministry means helping believers fulfill their roles and responsibilities in serving others. For the edifying of the body of Christ means building up and encouraging the church in spiritual growth and righteous living. God says pastors and teachers are responsible for nurturing and guiding the congregation to grow in their faith and live in accordance with His will. That's the three key responsibilities of pastors in verse 12, according to the Holy Spirit-inspired writing of the Apostle Paul. They labor among you, are over you in the Lord, and they admonish you. And then I want you to notice how Paul started off in verse 12. He says, "And we beseech you, brethren." Verse 12 is a biblical command. It's a biblical principle. But Paul uses a soft language here. He uses a heartfelt appeal to the Thessalonian believers instead of all up in their face. Paul's not commanding them as an apostle when he says, "And we beseech you, brethren." He's begging them as their brother in Christ. He said, "Brethren." Brethren is a term of endearment and unity, reflecting a close personal family relationship between Paul and the members of the Thessalonian church and those that were with Paul. Paul gave three key qualities of pastors. And now he's going to beg believers to do three key things for them. When he says, "And we beseech you, brethren," he says, "Brethren, we beseech you to know them, to esteem them, and to be at peace among them." The first thing we're going to look at is to know them. To know them carries a deeper meaning than just simply being familiar with someone. It involves recognizing, respecting, and appreciating pastors who work diligently within the church. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 5:17, "Let the elders," again, elders is pastors, "let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine." Pastors who lead effectively and faithfully are to be given great respect and honor, especially those who labor in the word and in doctrine. Particular emphasis is placed on those who work hard in teaching and preaching God's word. This verse shows us the importance of showing respect and appreciation for those who diligently serve and teach within the church. Knowing also means understanding the significance of their role in guiding and admonishing the church. There's also an element of trust and personal connection. Knowing pastors and teachers means being aware of their hard work and understanding their care they have for the congregation. The second thing is esteem them. Esteem them very highly. Show pastors a lot of respect and honor. Esteem them in this context conveys the idea of holding someone in high regard or respect. Very highly means with great respect. Esteem them very highly means that pastors should be regarded with the utmost respect and honor. This is not just a general respect, but a significant and deep respect that acknowledges their important role in the church. Respect should come from a place of genuine care and genuine affection. It means that believers should not just respect their pastor because of their position, but because they care about their well-being and the work that they do. Another verse that talks about esteeming pastors is Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 7. The Bible says, "Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation." Remembering them which have the rule over you encourages believers to remember and respect those who lead and guide them. Who have spoken unto you the word of God means pastors and leaders are to be recognized for their role in teaching and preaching God's word. Considering the end of their conversation means reflecting on the outcome of their lives and their faithfulness in ministry. The high regard is specifically due to the hard work and the effort that pastors put into their ministry. This includes their dedication, their teaching, their guidance, and their service to the church. This respect is linked to the value and the impact of their labor in God's work. Showing this kind of esteem involves supporting pastors, valuing their advice, and acknowledging their contributions openly. And then the third thing is be at peace among them, and be at peace among yourselves. Paul concludes by encouraging the church to promote unity and harmony within the body of believers. Peace among the members of the church is vital for maintaining a healthy and productive spiritual community. When leaders are respected and appreciated, it helps create a peaceful atmosphere in the church. Discord often arises when leaders are not valued or when members undermine their authority. Maintain unity and avoid conflicts within the church. A peaceful and supportive environment helps pastors in their ministry and contributes to the overall health of the church community. It also means avoiding criticism. It also means avoiding criticism and disputes that undermine their authority. Things like, you know, I don't know why pastor did this, and I don't know why pastor did that. You know, when you're saying that to another church member, it's not really good. You should go ask pastor why he did this, or go ask pastor why he did that. It involves having a positive and appreciative attitude towards pastors and teachers. Showing proper esteem will prevent such conflicts. Know them, esteem them, and be at peace among them, and this is what happens. Hebrews 13:17 says that they may do it with joy. Part of Hebrews 13:17 says, "Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, that they may do it with joy." So this verse has more context to it than what we're going to look at tonight. Because it also deals with the part that one day we'll pastor, will actually give an account to God, for he pastored this church. But we're not going to look at that part of that verse tonight. Tonight we're going to focus on the part that says that he may do it with joy. So what does that mean? Let me say it to you another way. That pastors may labor among you, be over you in the Lord, and admonish you with joy. That they may do it with joy is where I drew the sermon title from, that he may do it with joy. That brings this passage down to us. So here it is. That Pastor Barry may labor among us, be over us in the Lord, and admonish us with joy. It's impossible for me to convey to you the difficulty of the work of our pastor. Lots of people think pastors preach on Sunday and then they have 6 days off. And that may be true in some churches. I don't know. But I know that's not true here at Valley Avenue Baptist Church. 4 sermons a week takes labor in the Word. The pastor also spends countless hours in prayer for us. Each and every individual that's a member of Valley Avenue Baptist Church, people that he's witnessed to, guests, pastor prays individually for each and every one of those people. And that takes time. And he does it with a heart of genuine love for them. He spends countless hours in prayer for us. He spends countless hours in Bible studies. He spends countless hours in preparations. Countless hours in counseling. How have you ever heard the term ministry widow? Ministry widow, yes. That means that the potential is there for pastor to spend so much time on his ministry to the neglect of his family. One of my most very important jobs that I have as his assistant is to make sure that he does not do that. So if you ever hear, if you ever ask pastor to do something and he tells you, I can't do that because today is family day or tomorrow is family day or this day is family day, okay, tell him we're praying for you. Enjoy your family day. But also know this, if it's very important, if it's urgent, tell him that because he'll be able to figure that out. Okay? All right. I contend that if pastor actually kept track of all the hours that he spends on his ministry, he works way over more than 40 hours a week. If you ever call or text pastor and he doesn't respond right away, he's not mad at you. Remember, he might be in a devotion with his family. He might be in a Bible study. He might be in prayer. So just leave him a message, send him a text message, and I guarantee you, as soon as possible, he'll get back to you. If it's really, really super important, get a hold of me or Brother Mike. Pastor Barry, it's impossible for me to describe the difficulty of the work and the amount of the work of our pastor, but it's easy for me to convince you of our need for him. Pastor should be esteemed very highly and loved. Every single member of Valley Avenue Baptist Church over the past year, maybe over the past 2 years, maybe over the past week, we've all had a situation in our life where we needed pastor to preach God's word to us. We needed pastor to admonish us. We needed pastor to stand before us and lead us to follow our Lord Jesus Christ. We needed pastor to help us through a decision. We needed pastor to help us with the struggle. We needed pastor to help us with the sin. We needed pastor to help us with a temptation. We needed pastor to help us with counsel and advice. We needed pastor to be there when we were hurting. Brother Chad is that kind of pastor, and so, so much the more. He's a friend. He's our brother. He's our pastor. He hurts when we hurt. He rejoices when we rejoice. It is humanly impossible for him to care for us as much as God does. But I promise you, he cares for us as much as it is humanly possible. And oh my soul, he's a preacher of God's word. Pastor is laboring among us, he is. He's also guiding us spiritually. And I'm going to give you two of those things. Sunday morning, bowing before God, worship time, that's spiritual. Sunday evening, what we're about to do in corporate prayer, that's spiritual. Now, we have to be honest here. Admonishment when things are good in our life, that's joyful. Admonishment, let me say it this way, correction, sometimes that's not really all that joyful. Yet, pastor will correct us when our lives do not line up with what God's word says and what God's will is. It is his. It is his God-given responsibility to do so. Don't get mad at him. Thank him. Admonishing reflects a critical aspect of spiritual leadership, ensuring that members are corrected when necessary and encouraged to grow in their faith. It is pastor's responsibility to us and to God to maintain doctrinal purity and moral integrity within this body of believers. Pastor Barry is far, by far, fulfilling these three qualities of a pastor that Paul laid out in verse 12. Now, I'm not saying he's perfect, and I'm not exalting him. I'm just saying, thank God for him, pray for him, and thank God for him and his family and his faithfulness to follow God. So now I have to ask, are we fulfilling our three key things that Paul begged all believers to do? To know our pastor, to esteem our pastor, and to be at peace among our pastor. So we say brother or sister for the same reason Paul did, a term of endearment and unity, reflecting a close personal family relationship between the members of Valley Avenue Baptist Church. So we're off to a good start, amen? Here's a really good way to know your pastor. Don't hide your life from him. Write him a note and tell him how God spoke to you in a sermon or in your Bible reading. By the way, write him, if you hear something in a sermon and you don't understand it, write him a note. Write a note on a card. You don't even have to sign your name. Write a note on a card, put it in the Dropbox. It may turn into a sermon so he can explain it better. There is hardly... Okay, so... Let me start over. That just came to me and that all messed me all up. Here's a really good way to know your pastor. Don't hide your life from him. Write him a note about how God spoke to you in a sermon or your Bible reading. There's hardly anything else that's more discouraging than for a pastor to know, there's hardly anything else that is more encouraging and more loving than pastor to know and see how God is using you. It's an incalculable value to him. If you really want to acknowledge pastor's role in your life, if you really want to esteem him beyond measure, then don't appear disinterested in the body of Christ. That's the life that he's called to lead. Pastor has been called by God. He's been given authority by God to lead this body of believers. Don't hide your life from him. Be here for all the services. Come on the special fellowship times. Serve in own a ministry. Have your name all over a ministry. Serving Christ together, being faithful in the body together, is a blessing to each other and a blessing to our pastor. Be part of what's happening here. Get involved. Get in ministry. Get plugged in. Do more than just spectate. Do something to be part of this body. God has called Pastor Barry to be here, and Pastor loves his calling. To know his church loves him beyond measure is a value to him beyond measure. Many of you already do this. I see it all the time, and it just blesses my heart. But do something unexpected for him every once in a while, on a personal level, to communicate your appreciation for him. It's the little things that pastor doesn't expect that really tells him on a personal level just how much we love him. Maybe it's a note, a card, a phone call. Hey, pastor, do you want to hear a blessing? Take him out to lunch. Maybe get him some of that yucky coffee stuff. So, which kind of pastor is better for you? A pastor who feels an immeasurable amount of regard, love, and honor, or one that doesn't? A pastor that is highly esteemed, or one that's not? And I believe we all know the answers to that. Now I want you to look at that last little phrase in verse 13. It says, be at peace with each other. So we had to know our pastor, then we had to esteem our pastor, and now the third thing is to be at peace among our pastor. Do you know what the number one reason is that kills churches? It's called conflict. Conflict among church members, conflict with the pastor. Do you want to do something that demonstrates a high regard for our pastor? Then pursue peace with each other. Start with your marriages. There's nothing more destructive for a home than when husbands and wives are not pursuing peace with each other intentionally and regularly. Now, I'm not telling you that you have to have a perfect marriage. Rita and I do not have a perfect marriage. But we regularly and intentionally pursue peace with each other and pursue peace within our home. We are striving for an absolute intentional effort to being at peace with each other because we want to partner in the work of the gospel as a married couple in this church. We want God to use us instead of spending all of his time fixing us. Pursue peace in your homes. I love how Pastor says this. This is Sunday night. This is church family night. All the little ones are here. So all the little ones, I want you to look up here and pay attention to me for just 1 second, okay? All right? I want you to pursue peace with your moms and dads at your home, okay? This is why. Pursue peace with your moms and dads, your grandpas and grandmas, your brothers and sisters, because it's very discouraging to pastor to see you rebelling against your mom and dad. Why? Because pastor knows the devastation that it will bring into your life. He knows how ineffective that not having peace at your home can make your mom and dad at church. It destroys your family, and it deeply affects your church. So pursue peace with your moms and dads and your brothers and sisters. Honor them, obey them, follow them, trust their leadership. And you will be an amazing blessing to them, an amazing blessing to your church, an amazing blessing to your pastor. Pursue peace with each other in the church. Do you know what makes a healthy church? It's not a church with less problems. It's a church of peacemakers. Peacemakers who are convicted by the Holy Spirit to resolve any conflict in a godly way. That's what makes a healthy church. I cannot think of one thing that pastor would desire more for Pastor Appreciation Day than a church family that's pursuing peace here, pursuing peace at our homes, pursuing peace at our jobs, pursuing peace working in our fields. Praise God for him and his family. Remember Hebrews 13:17, so that as pastor watches for our souls, that he may do it with joy. Always rejoice and cease not to pray for pastor and his family. Always rejoice and cease not to pray for our church family. And as pastor said last Sunday evening, remember, we do all of this for the glory of God. Daily glorify God with your life, and every day will be Pastor Appreciation Day for pastor. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. And all God's people said, amen. Brother Josh, would you put some invitation music on, please? Lord, I can't help but think that there just might be something, Lord, in our life that maybe we're not pursuing peace. I don't know what it is, but I know you do. I ask, Father, that you would just, in the only way that you can, speak to individually to every heart that's here tonight. And I ask it in Jesus' name. The altars are open if you want to.